sighed as if he bore the weight of the world on his shoulders. Me.
Chapter 33. Cassius. The past was a painful reminder of my uncertain future, and exposing her to that unsettled me completely. But if she wanted the truth, I could not, would not, keep it from her. Watch, I whispered, lying down with her near the fire, as her body relaxed against mine. I waited for her to fall into a deep sleep, and prayed that she wouldn't hate herself for what she was, because dark ones were not the heroes, but the villains. I kissed her forehead, and began my story as I walked into her dream, grasping her hand tightly. Look. Look at the ones who watch. 200 men stood on the edge of the mountain, each of them well over 7 feet tall. Their faces were perfectly shaped, as if the person who had created them had special knowledge of just how far away I should be from the nose, and the nose from the lips. To stare at them was to experience the fullest of contentment. To be in their presence was absolute adoration. A battle brewed in front of them, yet they were immobile. They were called the ones who do not sleep. I pointed at the line of men as their gold armor glistened against the sun. A sword and shield was placed in each hand. They continued to stand, their hair tangled in the wind. A mixture of reds and black tendrils escaped out of their gold helmets. One of the 200 flinched as a man was decapitated. He lowered his head for a fraction of a second, while one of the men next to him grunted. And still, they stood. "Why aren't they helping?" Stephanie asked. "Humans are dying, getting slaughtered by one another. Why don't they intervene?" "Because it's not their job," I answered. "Their job is to watch. Their job is to never close their eyes. For when you close your eyes, even for a brief moment, you lose sight of what's in front of you. And at times, you can lose sight of what's inside." "That makes no sense." Stephanie pointed back down at the humans. "Blood's everywhere. It would take 2 of the men on the mountain to stop this."
"One," I corrected her. "It would only take one." The scene changed, and suddenly the village in front of them was getting swallowed up in flames. And again, they watched. Stephanie screamed at them, and yet they watched.
"Cassius, do something, there's women!"
She choked out a sob.
"Children are dying!"
"Children die every day," I spoke in a soft whisper. "They see it every day. They've been watching for hundreds of years. What makes this day different?" Stephanie covered her eyes as a child was tossed into the fire. Alive. Screaming, she tried to run toward the men watching, but I held her back. It shattered my heart to see her reaction. To know that the men could have done something, but that they didn't. "Stephanie," I licked my lips. "To act is to go against every cell in their body, every reason they were created. You have to understand, they were not made to feel. They were made to act."
"Then why don't they act?"
"Because they have not been told to. Yet." More children screamed, and then suddenly, a light shone down on the 200 men, flickering against their gold shields. Each shield held the design of a tree, but every tree was different, as if its origin came from a differing country or region. The shield swiftly moved to the front of the men, and with a roar, the 200 descended upon the crowd of humans getting slaughtered. It was over in 30 seconds, less than that. The humans thanked the men, the same men who had watched them suffer for days, weeks, years, not knowing that this wasn't some army marching through as they had claimed, but actual beings created to watch over humanity. My mother stumbled out of her hut, then fell to her knees in loud choking sobs. The man, the same one who had flinched while watching, stopped in front of her, then knelt down.
"Woman, why do you cry?"
His voice was so hollow, as if he didn't understand emotion.
"My son,"
she choked out a long, horrendous sob.
"He was thrown in the fire."
Even through tear-stained cheeks, blood caked to her fingers, and her hair matted. She was beautiful. The man sucked in a sharp breath, admiring her for the first time.
"He was only a year, sir."
"A year," he repeated. "To be so new."
He shook his head.
"I cannot comprehend such a short amount of time."
"It wasn't enough."
My mother hung her head.
"I'll mourn him forever."
As an angelic being, the man could feel the woman's sadness, as if it was his own. He pulled off his helmet, set down his armor, and helped her to her feet. It was his first mistake, for without his armor, he'd forgotten his purpose, and when he touched her, he closed his eyes for the first time in his existence, and when he opened them, her, only her, and nothing else existed. How, he wondered, had he gone so long watching, but not truly seeing? As his men walked back up the mountain to regain their rightful place, to stay awake, to watch, he hesitated. He never hesitated. He wasn't aware of the meaning of it until that moment. So beautiful. "I want." His breath came out in a whoosh. "Want. Want. Want." Heartbreak slowing, he pressed her hand to his cheek as his blood roared for something more. Then watching. Watching was no longer enough. He closed his eyes again, and again, and again as she continued to touch his face.
"Why are you crying?"
the woman asked.
"Name," he whispered. "What do they call you?"
"Nephal," she answered. "It means..."
"Fallen."
He jerked away, took one step, then two. As if his very life depended on it, he put distance between him and Nephal.
"And yours?"
she asked.
"Want. Want. Want."
He knew he shouldn't tell her. Something cried out inside of him that it was wrong, the entire exchange. Something told him it would not end well, but he only wanted seconds, minutes, hours. Maybe he wanted days. And was it wrong to want time, when he was given so much of it? After all, he was still watching. He was just watching. Her.
"Sariel."
The minute his name was released into the atmosphere, the wind picked up. A warning from nature, from the very earth that he'd sworn to protect. "Do not do this." The mountains trembled. "Do not do this." The wind hissed. "Do not do this." The ground shook.
"I will not do this,"
Sariel repeated out loud. As the wind died down, the woman hung her head.
"Thank you for all you've done."
She turned her back. He didn't want her to. He wanted. Want. Want. Want.
"Sariel!" One of his men barked out his name. "We return to the mountain."
"To watch," Sariel said, his tone bitter. Aziel looked stricken.
Brother, of course we watch. It is our purpose.
And for the first time, Sariel wanted more. The earth shifted that day, without his brother's knowledge, for when he watched Nephal. When he watched, he dreamed of her. And when his brothers were doing their duty, he was closing his eyes and remembering her hand on his face. It was years before he would see her again, and the opportunity arose as the village was yet again attacked. The men dispersed from the mountain. They went in all directions, but Sariel went to Nephal. Once he reached her hut, he knocked on the door, then burst through when she did not answer.
"Nephal, are you hurt?"
"No." She frowned, rising up from her bed. The fur fell from her naked body. Sariel had never seen anything so beautiful in all his life. Already, he could sense that the battle was nearly over. His brothers, returning back to the mountain.
"I missed you."
Tears filled her eyes.
"I do not know who you are, but I miss you. Why do I miss you?"
He didn't know why. He just knew he felt the same way.
"Why do you only come when we are in trouble?"
"I cannot answer that."
"Why do I feel strongly for you? A man? A stranger I do not know?"
"I cannot answer that either."
She nodded, covering herself with the fur and laid down. Sariel was immobile, and then he found himself peeling his armor off, layer by layer. He lay by her, pulling the woman in his arms as his body whispered, "Mine." But his heart was in the most danger of all, for when she sighed against him, it was as if time did not slow, but picked up, reminding him that it would run out, and his precious woman would die. Sariel returned to his men, to his spot on the mountain, a different being that day. And his brothers knew.
"What have you done, brother?" Ezayu whispered under his breath. Rarely did he ever speak. "You smell of humanity."
He turned his head, taking his eyes off the village.
"You stink of earth."
Sariel looked down, in shame.
"I love her."
His brothers, all 199 of them, seemed to gasp in unison, and then began talking all at once.
"Do you want to send us to hell?"
One spoke over the rest.
"Do you realize what will happen if one of us falls? All of us fall."
Sariel sighed.
"You think I don't know that? You think I'm unaware of repercussions? I cannot help how I feel." "Try," Ezayu yelled. "You must try, for the sake of all of us."
Sariel nodded.
"I will. Try." "We watch,"
Bannock replied.
"We do not sleep. We do not close our eyes."
The brothers all returned to watching in one loud clap of thunder, and repeated,
"We are the ones who keep our eyes open. We are the awake."
But Sariel did not repeat it, for his vow was long ago broken, the minute he closed his eyes and wanted. Stephanie hid her face in my chest.
"I'm not sure I want to see any more."
"The story ends soon."
"But does it end well?"
she asked. "It ends the only way it can." I licked my lips as the vision disintegrated in front of us. Sariel was again at the village, and Nephal was already waiting for him. He knew his brothers were watching, but he kept thinking, if only they saw the joy, if only they saw what they could have. He slept with her, not once, not twice, many, many times, and each time he grew more and more attached to the woman who held his heart, the woman he would bind himself to forever. She was lying across his naked body when she whispered, "I am with child."
"Impossible." Sariel shook his head. "We are not human."
Already he told her too much about the heavens, about the stars, about his race. "It is possible. It must be."
She touched her belly.
"Already I feel his movement."
"And how do you know it is a boy?"
"Is it?"
She smiled brightly, and Sariel caught on to the excitement, pressing his hand against her stomach in joy, until the destiny of the child played out in horrific visions of the future. With a gasp, Sariel pulled his hand back.
"He must not be born."
Nafal jerked away from Sariel.
"How could you say that? This child was conceived in love."
"This child,"
Sariel shook his head,
"will be hated, scorned, constantly surrounded by darkness."
"Darkness?"
"He will never experience true joy or contentment. Constantly pulled between two planes, between immortals and mortals alike. He will know division and darkness. The darkness and cruelty of the human race will be his lover, his companion. I cannot allow him to be born. My love for him, for you, is what guides this."
"Never!"
she shouted, tears streaming down her face.
"If you touch me, I'll kill you."
"Nafal,
go away."
Sighing, Sariel did as she asked, and didn't return until the babe was born. That night, with Bannock at his side, he entered the tent, ready to destroy the abomination, when his eyes locked on the child's. Bannock tensed next to him, and then uttered,
"I cannot kill our flesh." "He is."
Sariel swallowed down his emotions.
"He is part of us."
He joined Nafal on the bed as Bannock looked on, and then a great thunder sounded. Bannock sighed, his eyes heavy, his heart heavier.
"They're here."
And as if the sun had descended to earth, a legion of angels landed in the camp, shining bright with gold and silver armor. The archangels joined the first part of the ranks, while the rest of the soldiers fanned out around the tent, and 199 of his brothers marched down the mountain, for the last time, to their death. Sariel wrapped Nafal in one arm protectively, while hovering over the child.
"Cassius," he whispered. "We will name him Cassius."
Nafal nodded, tears streaming down her face. The tent door was opened.
"Creation is forbidden,"
the angel said in a booming voice.
"What, brother, have you done?"
Bannock stood next to Sariel's side, hand on his sword. The angel held out his hand.
"We did not come to fight. We refused to fight our own blood. We came to pass judgment.
But what are we to do with a young child, innocent in ways of the world, innocent in ways of humanity and immortals alike?" Sariel stood to his full height.
"I could not."
He lost his voice and tried again.
"This is my sin, but I cannot punish him for it. I could not."
"Nor would it be asked of you," the angel fired back, his eyes blazing like fire.
"Children will always be protected." He sighed.
But this child, or any born in this way, will forever be cursed.
The angel's eyes went black.
He will carry a darkness, and every day it will try to consume him. If he gives in, he will be killed. We will have no choice, for he has the knowledge of the heavens and the power to command at will. If he gives in to the darkness, there will be no saving him from himself, for he will be pure evil.
Cassius, the child, cried. Sariel nodded.
I will train him. Your punishment.
The angel spoke low in his throat.
Your curse is that you will always carry the weight of his decisions. Sariel, we leave you 12 brothers to help you keep the immortals and humans in balance. Now that you have mixed the blood, we are no longer at peace.
The wind swirled, nasty and angry.
But, brother, a lifetime of war, between the races, between each other, for you have created, and that is beyond our realm. It is forbidden.
Lightning flashed as Sariel made his way out of the tent. 2,000 angels stood, ready to fight, as fire struck down from the sky, destroying the mountain where the brothers had watched. A deep sadness ripped through Sariel, as most of his brothers, the ones who were awake, were commanded to sleep, and fell to the ground.
They will slumber, the angel commanded, until their penance is paid. As for the rest of you, he pointed at the 12 remaining brothers and spread his hands wide. Do not fail again.
In another loud clap, the angels returned to heaven. All but one. He was small, like a child. Slowly, he took a step forward and held out his hands to Sariel. We give second chances, he nodded, to our creation. The child smiled brightly, like that of a star shining in the sky, sucking the breath from the very air Sariel breathed. And then wings grew out of Sariel's back. Your brothers will not slumber forever, and you will need the strength and knowledge of the heavens for the darkness that is coming. He spread his hands again. Remember, where there is darkness, his voice lowered to a whisper, there is also great light. The dream ended. Stephanie woke up sobbing against Cassius. He held her while his mother returned from her own sleep. In one final gift, Sariel's human was given immortality, so he would never see her age. But they were to never lie together again, or he'd be cursed to roam the earth for an eternity.
Chapter 34. Cassius. We said goodbye to my mother. I knew I'd see her soon. I did always try to visit at least once a month. She always claimed she wasn't lonely, that she had plenty going on in their small town to keep her company. But I knew the truth. The day I was born, her world had changed forever, as had mine, as had Sariel's. Stephanie held my hand tightly. Darkness still blanketed the snow-covered hills as we quietly walked back through town, through the way we had come, our feet crunching against the snow. That's why darkness is so dangerous, Stephanie finally whispered. I'd been worried that the story had been too traumatic for her. Hearing it is one thing, experiencing it through a dream quite another. What do you mean? I asked. The rhythm of her heart picked up as she leaned her lithe body against mine. Why do you think it's so dangerous? It makes promises, Stephanie finally answered,
Her voice somehow sounded broken, altered. It promises contentment. It promises peace.
To touch darkness. I stopped walking and faced her. Is to experience war. It is untouchable, do you understand? The minute you grasp it, you're already lost. Damn it, Stephanie, if you have one flicker, one nanosecond of hesitation, it will wrap so tightly around you that all you'll know is war.
One thing I don't understand, she brushed off my lecture. Why was Sariel punished for falling in love? Isn't love good?
You don't understand the story clearly. I kissed her gloved hand, then pulled it off, one by one, kissing each finger. He was punished for going against why he was created. Stephanie frowned.
That makes no sense.
I wrapped my arms around her and turned her toward the mountain. It wasn't as high as it used to be. Rumors of the village stated that in the beginning of time, the ancestors experienced earthquakes along with a shot of bright light. When the light died down, all that was left was rubble. Half the mountain was gone. The glorious mountain that used to protect the village from the cold, for it stopped storm systems before they were able to make it over the mountain, was suddenly defenseless, and cursed with an eternal winter.
Siberia, I whispered, was never meant to be cold.
I wrapped my arms tighter around her, as tightly as I could, unapologetic about the feelings I had for her, the fierce desire I had to protect her from the darkness inside. The reason dark ones are cold, using ice particles and water with a simple flick of our wrist. It is cold because of us. We are the cold. We are the curse that surrounds us. Tiny pieces of ice flew into the air. You miss the point of the story, my love. Stephanie stilled in my arms, then melted all at once.
Did you just call me your love?
I purposely ignored her question and pointed to the mountain. What was their job? Their purpose? She swallowed, her hands digging into my forearms as she swayed in my arms.
To be awake. To watch.
And what did Sariel do?
He fell in love.
Before that, sheets of ice froze in front of our faces as we stared at the mountain.
He closed his eyes.
I sighed heavily. Yes, he closed his eyes. He was not punished for his love, but for going against what he was created for. He was not meant to close his eyes, not made for it. Possibly for the very reason that once we close our eyes, we look inward. We lose focus of what is right in front of us. The scariest things do not always lie outside. I kissed her cold cheek. But within.
Ech.
Alex took a step back from us.
You're both frigid, and I mean that in a completely non-sexual way.
He winked at me, and then scrunched up his nose as if we smelled.
Reindeer?
Close. Stephanie pushed past him. We were in Siberia. Alex shared a look with me, one I knew well. His thoughts were along the lines of,
why the hell would you take her there, only to scare the ever-loving shit out of her?
Always so eloquent, sirens. I ignored his yelling in my head and continued walking through the house. With every step I took, more and more ice released itself from my body, melting into a puddle on the floor. Stephanie seemed agitated. A quick learner, her thoughts were getting harder and harder for me to read, as if she'd put up a block. A block of something hazy, gray. I couldn't see through it. And at times, I wondered if she even knew it was there, if she realized that even now, she flirted with things she had no knowledge of.
Living room, Alex called after me. They're watching Beauty and the Beast. I rolled my eyes. Of course they are. Bickering was what I was greeted with, as Stephanie took a seat as far away from me as possible. Her eyes trained in on the fireplace, watching the flames lick and hiss. All I'm saying, Ethan said as he stood, spreading his hands wide, is why the hell can't they make movies about vampires? I mean, a beast? It's ugly as hell. What if... He held up his pointer finger. The beast was really a vampire prince, held under a spell, and the rose was her blood. You'd ruin the entire story, Mason roared. Besides, he sniffed the air, I am a beast. You were the reindeer yesterday, Ethan pointed out. From Frozen. You can't be every character that's an animal just because you're the only one with claws. Man has a point. Alex came in behind me and slapped me on the back. Mason, as if suddenly realizing my presence, looked at me, then at Stephanie, and then, unfortunately, at her feet. In 3, 2, 1...
What have you done? He roared. My favorite wolf friend was white.
Stephanie's eyes widened, and then she looked down. Oh, Cassius convinced me it wasn't your type of wolf.
All wolf is my type.
Mason gnashed his teeth. Be still, wolf, before I throw a pine cone at your ass, I hissed, sending a shockwave of icy cold air directly at his face. He stumbled backward, cursing, then mumbled,
Didn't hurt,
as he shot to his feet and took his place back on the couch.
And I'd appreciate if you'd kindly remove my people's fur from your feet.
Slowly, Stephanie peeled off the boots. Genesis bit down on her lip and held out her hands. Those look really warm.
Ethan's warm, Mason barked. Use him as a blanket, not these.
He snatched the boots and hugged them close to his chest. $10 he sleeps with them tonight, Alex chuckled. Where were you guys? Genesis stretched her arms above her head and yawned. I smiled at the gesture. She was so sweet, so pure. Ethan shot a glare in my direction. Good to know he still didn't trust me even after finding my own mate. A mate whose destiny was now threaded with mine. Heaviness weighed all around me, inside, outside, settling on my shoulders like a boulder. Do dark ones drink? I wondered aloud. Alex clapped his hands. Let's find out. I'm bored, and the last girl I took wasn't to my liking. Too much... He shuddered. Talking.
You are supposed to talk when you mate,
Mason said under his breath, while all eyes shot in his direction. He looked up.
I mean, that is our way.
Alex sat down at Mason's feet. Oh, a bedtime story. Continue when you're ready. Don't leave any sexy parts out. Those are my favorite. His eyes glowed for a few brief moments as his essence nearly choked the life out of the room, causing even the potted plant to strain toward him in adoration. Alex, Stephanie made a face, learn how to turn off the charm. Since when do you care?
Since now.
She clenched her fists, her eyes going completely white, while Alex stood. He never could help himself when there was a chance to bicker or fight.
Cease,
I whispered, as the air in front of his face crystallized. The world spun in slow motion as I made my way over to Stephanie, just as she lifted her hands into the air to blast him with what would be a painful blow of icicles. I caught the icicles midair. One of them missed my hand, hitting me in the side. With a wince, I fell to my knees as time began again, and the ice crashed against the ground.
Cassius,
Stephanie was immediately at my side. I'm so sorry. I don't know what came over me. He was making me angry and...
Learn how to control it, Ethan snapped, his eyes green with rage. Council member or not, I would not hesitate to remove your head from your body if you harm Genesis.
Fangs elongated out of his mouth as he let out a loud growl. Mason protectively covered Genesis with his body, while Alex paled, his thoughts nothing but confusion and hurt.
It's not you, I said. She's getting worse, came his answer back to me. Fix it.
I can't. Silence. Admitting that this was a battle she could only fight on her own, one that she had no training for, one that I could not win for her.
Stephanie, I held out my hand. Upstairs.
She placed her hand in mine, offering an apologetic glance at everyone, as we slowly put more distance between the council members and her.
I'm dangerous, she said, once I closed the door to her bedroom.
Yes.
I could have killed him.
Harmed, not killed. Big difference.
That doesn't make me feel better.
That wasn't me trying to make you feel better. I cupped her cheek and kissed her mouth softly. This is. Tears welled in her eyes.
I've loved you for a lifetime.
And I you.
I'm afraid.
Don't feed the fear with irrational thoughts. They have no place in our lives, and the more you think upon them, the bigger darkness gets. Insecurity will always be part of you, just like emotions, jealousy, anger. It's all there. But as a dark one, you can harness the power. Push them away, long enough to regain control of yourself. You must. Otherwise.
That's the scary part, she muttered. The otherwise. The but. The if.
Think upon this. I kissed her again and again, showering her face with kisses, spreading the love I felt for her as far and as wide as was possible, kissing every inch of her face, until I thought I'd go insane with dizzying desire to take her. Think on us.
Chapter 35. Stephanie. I imagined that years from now, centuries even, I'd still think his kiss was paradise. The greatest touch, the press of his fingertips against my skin. To love Cassius was to be wrapped up in rightness. But that was now, when he was near. When I was touching him, the fear was gone. Everything ceased to exist but him. Clarity filled my head and I realized yet again how right he was about everything. If anyone had reasons to be upset about his life, parentage, or even the curse he'd been given, it should be Cassius. And he was comforting me. An outcast from birth. The first of his race. With two powerful races up in arms over his tiny existence. His being born caused centuries of continual unrest between immortals and humans. It caused a giant tear in the balance of life. Of exiting. One that has never been fixed. One life. One life did that. One choice did that.
Your thoughts are heavy,
Cassius whispered. His mouth was warm, the complete opposite of the way our cold bodies pressed against one another. His tongue grazed mine, and in an effort to keep him close, I grabbed onto his hair, pulling his body onto mine. You're heavy. I fired back. His full lips spread into a grin.
You could lift me with one hand.
Maybe two, I nodded. For sure, two. He ran his fingers through my hair, bringing it to his nose, only to close his eyes and exhale as his eyes turned white, his lips the same color.
I wish to look upon you for an eternity. I would watch, if it were my job to watch you.
He kissed my lips softly.
I would never close my eyes.
My heart swelled. Who knew Dark Ones could be so romantic?
Romance, he answered quickly, is inherent in everyone, like a treasure that is opened only when you find the one worthy of its words, sonnets, its adoration.
His hand slinked down my body, bracing my hips, grazing my bare skin near my stomach, as he raised my shirt and brought his lips to my belly button.
Let me kiss you.
Please, I whimpered. Please kiss me.
Only because you begged,
he teased, assaulting me with his mouth, with his lips, making me yearn for more of him as my body twisted and arched in every direction, needing him, only him. My mate. Eyes a blazing white, I felt him, not just physically but mentally, pushing me, almost like there was this invisible wall he was trying to break. I pushed back. His eyes blazed whiter.
Let me through.
No. Where had that response come from? It didn't sound like my voice. I wasn't even thinking of saying no. It just came out through my lips, guttural, evil.
Stephanie.
Cassius tried again, rocking his body into mine.
I need all of you, not just a piece. Give me everything. I need your trust. I need the essence of who you are.
I shook my head and slammed my hands against his chest, sending him flying in the air. He barely stopped himself from hitting the wall. With a snarl, he stood to his full height and started stripping. What? I shook my head as my vision clouded. What are you doing? His smile was lethal, beautiful.
Distracting you.
What? My eyes honed in on his perfectly sculpted body, its thickness as muscles flexed and strained as if they were ready to break through his skin. In a flash of light, he was in front of me, pulling at my clothes. What are you doing?
Making love,
he said simply, his hands worshipping my body while something inside of me said it would be a bad idea to let him in. Then he'd see. He'd see all the horrible thoughts I'd been having about him, humans, all the darkness. He'd see the darkness. If we were together again, he'd have access to everything. He'd see my shame. No. Darkness seeped out of my voice as a trail of soot left my palm and imprinted against his bare skin. Hissing, he pulled back, his skin blistering where I'd touched it.
So that's how this is going to be,
he asked, his eyes cheerful as if I didn't just burn him, as if I wasn't hiding everything from him. Yes.
Well.
He stretched his arms above his head.
I guess I'd better ready myself for a battle. I was never good at winning wars, but battles. Excellent speed, aggression, timing.
He kissed me harder and harder as my body weakened against him, wanting him so desperately while my mind screamed that it would ruin everything. But what? What would it ruin? My thoughts were a confused, jumbled mess. Let him in and he'll see you for what you really are. Evil. No. I shook my head.
My voice.
Cassius held my head, our eyes locked.
Focus on my voice, my body, the feeling of us joining. Focus on nothing else. And Stephanie.
I swallowed.
Whatever you do, do not close your eyes.
It was what I needed to hear as Cassius pressed a searing kiss against my mouth, his eyes never wavering, never leaving mine, as if his job, his duty, the only reason he had been created, was to watch. To watch me. I was afraid to blink, afraid I'd miss the planes and angles of his perfect face as he moved his head left, then right, kissing me in every different direction only to increase his speed, taking his time tasting my mouth, while at the same time leaving remnants of his own flavor, the richness of his blood called to me. He was under my skin. Every inch of my body was aware of Cassius in such a real, almost unnatural way that I had no choice but to kiss him back, match him touch for touch. His large hands cupped my breasts, staring down at my body in reverence before a guttural groan escaped between his lips as his head again descended, pleasuring me with his mouth, causing me to whisper his name, until whispering wasn't possible anymore. The room trembled, while my body shook. Time again seemed to bend and alter right before my very eyes as the air around us stilled. Moisture froze midair into tiny pieces of floating ice as Cassius's head lifted, his eyes white, his mouth swollen from kisses.
"You will never have her."
His voice was loud, dominating as his body moved against me slowly, and then faster.
"She will never be yours."
I knew who he was talking to. I could feel the anger reverberating inside, the maniacal laughter of darkness as it tried to break free.
"Look at me,"
Cassius instructed, his breath like smoke as it froze in front of my mouth.
"Watch me love you."
When we joined, it wasn't out of hurried passion, or even pleasure, but love. His eyes flashed with swirling white as his hungry kisses made demands of my mouth, and his body commanded my pleasure, taking me beyond the mortal realm into something so beautiful that I ached.
"This,"
Cassia said softly as every ounce of darkness drained from the room,
"is what we have together."
I cried out against his chest as he moved one last time, triggering every pleasure point in my body simultaneously. Limbs weak, I sagged against him. "I love you."
"I love you too,"
he whispered, rocking me in his arms, back and forth, back and forth, our legs still tangled, our bodies with frozen beads of sweat. It was then that I forgot his words and closed my eyes.
Chapter 36. Cassius. As if the light was getting sucked into a black hole, the brightness diminished within the room, leaving us blanketed in the soft glow of the moon and the slithering darkness of night. "Stephanie?" I pulled back to look into her eyes. Anger swirled beneath the surface of her heart-shaped face, like I was seeing her, but not truly seeing her. Black specks of darkness spotted her white eyes, as she blinked up at me again and again, as if trying to clear away the mess of cobwebs. She shook her head again. "Fight it," I urged. "Learn how to fight it. Learn how to focus on the good, the bright, the joy. Feel the cold. Let it become a part of you." "He's warm." Her voice was hollow. "He's so warm. Do not allow the temptation of something so fleeting as warmth cause you to lose your footing on reality." I spoke quietly, taking her face between my hands. "All dark ones are born with this choice. Stay between the mortal planes of humanity and immortals alike, or give in to the darkness." She gritted her teeth together and slammed her hands against my chest with a scream. White-hot flames teased my skin as I flew through the air toward the window. I held up a block of ice just in time to keep myself from damaging Ethan's home further, while Stephanie fell backward off the bed. The room smelled like burnt skin, but already my body was healing, knitting cells back together, while I maneuvered around the bedroom to see if Stephanie was okay. I froze as she stood to her feet, still naked, wobbly. The palms of her hands were black with soot, and near her left cheek was a strip of red hair. The sign of fire. The sign of darkness taking hold.
"I'm sorry," she ran toward me. "Are you hurt? I was trying to push him away, not you."
"No." I grabbed her wrists, carefully examining her hands. "It's fine. I'm fine." Nodding, she tugged her hands free and wrapped her arms around me.
"I think I need to go for a walk."
"I'll go with you."
"No.
She shook her head violently. I need to go by myself. It's not you, it's...
She shrugged, as her words trailed off into the empty atmosphere of the room. They held no physical power, words, but being dismissed felt like being punched without warning. I wasn't sure how to respond, how to react to the fact that my mate, the one I just loved, joined with, promised my life to, was shutting me out, this time purposefully, right before my very eyes. Stephanie. I reached for her hand, but she jerked back. You don't need to hide from me.
I know,
she said quickly. The lie hung in the air between us, like a giant visible rift of separation. She might as well be on another planet. Then take all the time you need. She didn't just walk out of the room. She fled.
Sariel. Weakness consumed me. Help, where I cannot.
I waited in anticipation for his answer. But instead of words, it was the sound of feathers blowing in the wind, ruffling up all at once and taking flight. And finally,
I will try. It is all I ask. No.
Sariel's voice carried inside my head.
You ask a great deal more, son. More than I am allowed to give.
I hung my head then, slowly, robotically, put my clothes back on, and made my way downstairs. The kitchen was empty. Mason wasn't hidden behind some pot cooking and ordering people around, and Alex wasn't sitting back on the table, smug look in place as he looked down on everything that dared not be enraptured by his presence. And Ethan. His scent was near, but that was all.
Cassius?
Genesis' voice was so unexpected that I startled, nearly running into the door frame in an effort to turn around. Her scent was different now that she was mated with the vampire. I had forgotten its lingering sweetness, the way the mixture of human and vampire blood hummed through the air, like an electric current, pulling and tugging. Her bright green eyes glistened.
Did I, a mere human, frighten you, O Great One?
I held back my laugh, just barely, as a smile spread across my face. I believe you did.
And to think, Dark Ones, she made a face. So terrifying.
I rolled my eyes.
Did you just roll your eyes?
I paused, and then released the pent-up laugh. First time for everything. I blame Alex.
It's just easier that way,
she agreed, holding out her hand. I hesitated at first. Old habits died hard. There had once been a time when I would have done anything to touch her, to mate with her, to break the curse that Ethan and I had started when his mate betrayed him. Touching humans wasn't a normal occurrence. With a sigh, I pressed my palm against hers, and then linked my fingers, enjoying the softness of her hand, the warmth that was so foreign to my own skin as it simmered.
Your eyes are wide again,
she whispered. I like your warmth, I said honestly, not in a way that meant I wanted her. You comfort me. Imagine that. She squeezed my hand lightly and led me into the adjoining living room. Next to the fireplace, she had a mug of something sweet, hot chocolate perhaps, and a blanket. I scooted a chair next to her and sat, our hands still touching, still grasping, feeling one another. It was the most calm I'd felt all evening, sitting with a human, by the fire, sitting with a vampire's mate, sitting, watching. Maybe I inherited that from my father, the keen ability to be able to stay awake and watch, in hopes that by keeping my eyes open I'd... What? Save the world from itself? Save the woman I loved?
You look sad, Genesis said.
I find that I'd rather allow the human side of me to mourn what has transpired between me and Stephanie, than push it away,
Sometimes it's better to feel, no?
Genesis ducked her head as she took a sip of hot chocolate. Her dark wavy hair fell across her soft skin as her green eyes glowed over the rim of the cup.
Feeling is almost always painful, but with pain is always beauty.
Pleasure. She glanced at the fireplace. You aren't truly living if you are choosing to ignore the most vibrant parts of yourself, including emotions.
Pesky little things. Emotions, I joked. Her laugh was soft.
They do tend to get in the way. I want to save her, I admitted.
Genesis' eyes saddened.
You can't.
I keep telling myself if I wouldn't have...
Genesis' eyebrows arched.
Go on.
Wouldn't have what?
Bargained, I blurted out. I made a bargain with Sariel. Allow me 30 days to pursue her, to love her. He made me human while restoring my immortality as a gift. At the end of 30 days, if I had not succeeded, I would die. But, of course, Sariel failed to mention that if we made it, I'd be restored.
Genesis frowned.
It doesn't seem like Sariel to leave something like that out.
Are you sure you are restored?
I frowned. I have all my powers. Look at me. I spread my arms wide, releasing her hand in the process.
But do you have your immortality?
She wondered aloud. I paused, as the room itself tensed, and then like a warning, the lights flickered. Because if I could die, if it was possible to die without the draining of my immortality, that meant the future had not truly changed. Because in the end, Stephanie could still kill me, stab me in the heart, and I would perish.
Chapter 37 Stephanie. Tears blurred my line of vision as gravel crunched beneath Mason's old boots. They'd been by the door, and I'd been desperate. Maniacal laughter bubbled up inside of me. What was happening? No matter how hard I tried, the temptation to give in to something so dark and forbidden was like inviting warmth into the icy parts of my soul. The air around me stilled, but I continued walking down the street toward the small wooded area where I used to go running. Before my life had changed, before I'd discovered that I was an abomination. Shoving my hands into the pockets of my sweatshirt, I picked up my pace, only to slam directly into an invisible wall. Confused, I took a step back. There was nothing in front of me, but air. The wind teased my hair as it whipped against my cheeks, and then the smell of cinder burned my nostrils. Angel. A deep voice whispered behind me. Slowly I turned on my heel. Timber leaned casually against a tree, his muscular body tensed up like he was ready to fight. I could level you by simply thinking it, I threatened. You could. He nodded, then shoved off the tree and started walking forward. But you won't. My eyebrows shot up in surprise. He really didn't want to piss me off, not after everything that had gone down with Cassius. You have no idea what I will or will not do. And I would never try to guess a woman's thoughts, for fear that I'd be on the wrong side of her affection for a century, he smirked. At least.
Possibly longer, I added. His dimpled grin grew. Perfect white teeth snapped together in a crushing smile as he finally stopped in front of me. We were matched for height, but he was older, a lot older, and ever since seeing the battle Cassius led against him, something a lot like fear told me that to fight him would be more trouble than it was worth. "Clearly you wanted to talk about something since you went to so much trouble," I said. Timber continued to stare through me.
"It's growing."
"Your ego?"
His smile dimmed. I think that ship sailed long ago, I'm afraid. After all, I can only allow so much arrogance before it blinds me.
Good point.
And now...
His dark hair